Accession number 3618.
Mr. John Robertson, Reel 2. Now, so what happened next then? You're in this camp. You went in, what, June 1940? Well, that's when most people were
June 1940, yes.
What happened there? How long were you there for? What's the next
thing? I was there for about just over 3 months, because they started to do... discharge people under 18. I think I was 17 then.
17, yeah.
And it discharged people under 18. And so I got discharged, so did my friend Oppen.
So you'd be released around about September.
October, yes, something like that, yes.
And so what? What happened then?
What happened then? I went back to Mr. Kelly's house, where I'd been previously.
In West Hampstead.
West Hampstead, in England, Heston Lane, West Hampstead. And he had a lot of students, Indian students and so on, who were lodging in a house. He had a very large house. He was a teacher, but his wife was looking after students and so on. And
now the bombing would have started round about then.
The bombing started. Yes, the bombing started.
What do you remember the German air raids?
Well, I remember the German air raids, and I remember that people ran off to the tube station if they hadn't a shelter. And there was a shelter, some sort of a shelter in Mr. Kelly's house, and blackout and so on. The wardens came around and said, "We see a light coming through your window, your blackout is inefficient," or something like that.
Were you back at college, or
yeah,
what were you doing?
Well, no, not really back at college.
Not working, really, or?
Not working back at college, not working, but staying with Kelly. My mother sent me some money monthly allowances, and went on for, previously she'd sent them to Mr. Kelly, but now she sent them to me.
You were growing up. So what happens next then?
Nothing. What happens next? Well, in June 1941, I went to an army office in Duke Street.
Why did you do that?
I wanted to join the army. I didn't know about Pioneer Corps. I wanted to help the war effort. I wanted to join the army. So I went to a recruitment office. I think they called it a recruitment office in Duke Street, just off, just at the back of it doesn't matter, I don't know where, the back of Euston Station, yes. And so on, and they just took particulars and the rest of it, and I went away, and they said, well, you'll have to have a medical, and the rest of that. And so they called me up for a medical about 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, and then they said, we can't have you in the army, you're not tough enough. It'd be too hard for you. Because it would be the Pioneer Corps. They explained that to me then. I had no idea about Pioneer Corps, but the recruitment officer explained that you would be going to the Pioneer Corps, and that would be rather hard, lifting and all the rest of it. So he said, well, I'll manage. I said, I'll manage. But I said, well, you don't think you should have to manage. It would be too hard. Well, then I went, got home, I wrote to them, and I wrote to the recruitment. I said, but I'm sure I'll manage, you know, as I told the recruitment officer. I don't feel unfit. I'm not a tough type of person. And then I got a letter, in reply to my letter, to asking me to come for another medical examination. And that was with a different doctor, uniform doctor. And he said, "You'll be all right." So then I went to the army. Well, I was only their way of a comeback, you know. Eventually, I was called up and to join a depot in I think it was in Ilfracombe in Devon.
Was that the Pioneer Corps depot?
The Pioneer Corps depot. I think it was in Ilfracombe in Devon, and they got a uniform and all the rest.
Do you remember what they kitted you out with? That would be.
What
uniform did they give you? Do you remember?
They gave me a battle dress and a steel helmet and didn't give me a rifle then. I got a rifle later, but didn't give me a rifle then. So then I was.
How did they treat you? I mean, what was the reception like?
It was all right. The reception was normal. It was quite normal, quite civil. No, but nothing very interesting about it, you know.
What were the conditions like that you were living under the huts or whatever?
They were sent to a company.
So you didn't have any training or drill or anything at Ilfracombe first?
No. Well, a bit of instructions about the war and instructions about the army and how the army was organized, and so you know,
just lectures really.
Yeah, lectures, nothing very significant. And then I was.
So how long were you at Ilfracombe?
Ilfracombe, I was about 6 weeks, I think. So five or six weeks.
June to July.
Yeah. And then I went to. Then I was sent to a company.
Do you know which number?
Yeah. I think it was 219 company, Pioneer Corps company, 219.
And where were they?
They were then, when I joined them, they were in Northamptonshire, in Rushden, I think, Rushden in Northamptonshire.
And you joined them around about July?
End of July, something like that, yes. And they were just, they were unloading barbed wire and bricks, and usual sort of pioneer.
Unloading from where to where?
Unloading stuff that had come from on vans, on lorries from outside, which was unloading there for a depot, because they were going to build a barracks for an army camp. But we were simply concerned with getting the bricks off the lorry too, and the barbed wire and all the rest of it, and various things.
Now, how was the 219 company organised? What was the setup?
Well, the 219 company was organised, I suppose, as all these companies were organised. Were in sections. I was in one section. I can't remember what section, but. And they were mixed, age-wise, very mixed. They weren't, in fact, where in that company, in that section I was, there were very few young people. Most of them were 30 and over. And
how did you get on with them? You know, you're very young. You're what, 18 or 19?
Yes, I got on with some of them. I got on, but there were a lot of Viennese, Austrians. Viennese are very quite cheeky, and the sergeant was they'd given stripes to a few people. The sergeant of the company. Of this company, yes, was an Austrian.
And how did you get on with him?
He didn't get on very well. But I mean, I kept the peace. I was nothing. I wasn't, but I didn't like him much.
You were just about, where were you living? In huts? Or?
We were living in. We were living in huts somewhere. And the huts at the back of that place where they were going to build a camp.
And what was it like? How comfortable were you in there?
No, it was all right. It wasn't all that comfortable. It was all right.
So how long were you doing that for?
Well, then the company moved. They moved after a few weeks, a few months. They moved to, I don't know where they moved to. They moved to, I think they moved to Manchester here. And
what were you doing there?
There we're doing the same sort of thing. Similarly, same sort of similar thing. They were unloading lorries, or loading lorries and unloading lorries. Same sort of thing. Basically the same sort of thing. I think most Pioneer Coal companies, alien Pioneer Coal companies, British Pioneer Coal companies too, they were doing that sort of work. Helping, yeah, in Manchester we were helping a lot of engineers. I mean, what they call engineers in the army, a separate regiment. Called Royal Engineers, and so we had certain one of contact outside the Pioneer Coal Company. We had contact with these chaps. They were building things. They were building army. They were army personnel, but they were building camps and they were building bridges and all that sort of.
So how long are you doing that in Manchester?
Oh, I don't know how long I'm doing that.
Any bombing while you're in Manchester? Manchester Blitz. And
no, well, this was just outside Manchester. I can't remember the locality. Not far, a few miles outside Manchester. And yes, in Manchester there were quite a lot of bombs and so on. And then we moved again. I think that was the end of the Pioneer Corps for me. But we moved to a place near Peterborough. Yes, I can remember Peterborough.
And what happened? Same job at Peterborough? Same sort of thing?
Same sort of thing. Yeah.
Now, anything else about your time with the Pioneer Corps? Because you leave them round about here, don't you?
Yes. We were getting leave. Yes, in turn we were getting leave at the weekend and so on. So I went to London on leave occasionally. In turn, you know, we were in. Not everyone was getting leave every weekend. So
was your mother over here then?
My mother came quite a lot of time. Yes, my mother. No, my mother wasn't. She came visiting, but she wasn't living here yet. She lived. My mother came to live in England about 41, end of 41, beginning of 42. My mother was still in France. My mother was. Working as a social worker in France, working for an organization called OSE.
Wasn't she in trouble when the Germans took over?
She was all right then. She was all right then. They went to the unoccupied part of France, the free part of France. And she was working in a camp for young Jewish children. She was working for an organization which was called OSE. Then eventually she came to England in a sort of complicated way. My sister was also with her in that camp, in Bruy-sur-Mer, on the Côte d'Azur, And she went with my sister one day to Nice, just for the afternoon. And then when she was in Nice for the afternoon, and she got to know, they made an announcement on the radio that all British subjects should report to somewhere or other in Nice. And so she stayed overnight, because she was only there for the afternoon. She phoned Campin and the organization. She stayed overnight with my sister. And the next day, they told her that all British subjects would have to be, if they wanted to get to England, they would have to join a boat there and then. A special boat that would be going to England. And it proved to be a boat that had been a freight boat. Proved to be a freight carrier, and had a lot of had coal previously, had coal in it. But it was all right, and nobody complained. And so they were rather had a difficult journey, but of course the journey wasn't very long, but they had there were attacks. Attacks on the boat, they didn't go straight to England. They landed somewhere, and they had landed because they had landed for provisions and so on. They landed in. They landed somewhere, I can't remember. They landed somewhere, it wasn't in France, they landed somewhere. And eventually, and then they embarked again, not on that same boat, they embarked on a liner which had arrived and so on. And there was quite a substantial number of British subjects who'd been living in, because there were a lot of British subjects living, as there are now, a lot of British subjects living in the south of France, on the Riviera. They were very sorry to leave, but the British authorities had said, well, if you want to get back to England, you might not, unless you do so now, you might be in difficulty. And so they joined. Some people were quite wealthy people with villas on the coast and so on. Right. So then we got to Plymouth, I think, to Plymouth eventually. Yes, I think we got to Plymouth, and we got to from there by train to Paris.
To London from Plymouth.
They got, not yeah, we. I was.
I know what you mean, yeah. So what happened to you in the Pioneer Corps then? You're in Peterborough area.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Next, I was discharged from the, at the end of the war. I was discharged in 1946. I was in the Pioneer Corps till 1946.
What, you just stayed in Peterborough till 1946?
No, we went to one or two other places, I can't remember.
Right.
One or two other places.
Hang on, we just got a bit of a confusion there. So what happens next then?
The next thing that happened was the announcement was made in the Pioneer Corps if anybody wanted to get into any other unit, artillery or infantry unit or whatever, unit, commandos, some went to the commandos, that was possible if they opted for one thing. So I said, I want to get out, yes, I want to get to a different unit, more active unit. And I ended up in a Cornwall Light Infantry.
Now, do you remember when that was?
And that was in, that was in 43, I think 43. It was before D-Day.
Now, did they ask you any questions? You know, what was the procedure to join them? You know, was there any?
Well, the procedure was that they wanted to know whether I could deal with arms and all the rest of it.
Had you had much weapons training before? You not mentioned it.
We had we each had a gun, but nobody knew how to handle it in a pioneer corps. They had had instructions, theoretical instructions, but nobody was called upon to use it and so on.
So where did you have to go to? When you joined the Duke of Cornwall Light Infantry, where did you have to
go?
Yeah,
Duke of Cornwall Light Infantry.
Where did you have to go?
I had to go, I don't know where. I don't know where I had to go. I forget the place name. But there was their depot.
What, at Bodmin?
Bodmin or something.
Bodmin. In Cornwall. Bodmin.
Bodmin. I think that's right. Bodmin in Cornwall. And there we were equipped differently again.
So what did you get there?
Yeah, we got a more modern gun, a better gun. And a certain amount of instructions and all the rest of it.
What sort of training did you get? Can you tell us a bit about the training? Do you remember it now? Do you remember your training? What sort of training?
Well, we were on we would train on a gun course on a to fire. We had to fire guns. We had to show that we could aim a gun at something, at a target and so on. Yes, there was proper training, not very extensive, but proper training.
Any fitness training? Fitness, PT?
Fitness training, certain amount of fitness training, yes. And
what about battle training, tactics?
But battle training is a lot of carrying heavy rucksacks and heavy packs on the back and going on route marches and so on. Yes, a lot of that. A lot of that I can remember. And so on. Then D-Day came.
Now, so were you still at the depot then?
No. I was in a unit. I don't know where I was.
Which battalion were you in?
I can't remember which battalion. I can't remember. Sorry. It was the Duke of Cornwall, I think, but I can't remember. Then we went, yes, then I know, we went somewhere near Colchester.
What were you doing there with them?
Well, we were still training and standing by and training, gun training, standing by and so on. And then after then D-Day, no, D-Day, I was, no, some people in the unit. The unit was then split up. Some went into another unit of the Cornwall Light Infantry, into a merged unit with another infantry, but infantry unit in a battalion, infantry battalion, to prepare for D-Day landing.
And what did you do?
I don't know. I didn't go for the D-Day landing.
What did
I stayed there. I don't know. I wasn't taken for the D-Day landing. I stayed where.
So what were you doing in Colchester?
Colchester. Well, we were training. That's all. Training, standing by. And then after. Eventually. I was sent to a unit that went to cross the Channel after D-Day.
Now, which unit was this? Without
no,
detail.
I could do it, Cornwall Light Infantry with another infantry unit. An infantry unit went to the across the channel.
What do you remember about that, crossing the channel?
I remember we got to Dieppe, and the Canadians were just evacuating Dieppe. They'd had this problem that they had a previous landing in Dunkirk. They had a landing which
in Dieppe.
Well, they then went to Dieppe. I don't think the landing was in Dieppe, was it? There was a landing before D-Day. There was a landing of Canadians.
At Dieppe, yeah.
Dieppe.
But that was ages. Yeah, that was 8 years before.
What?
That was years before.
No, but when we got to Dieppe, crossing the channel after D-Day, there were a lot of Canadians on the beach. They were waiting to go back to England. I don't know where they came from. I thought they had been part of the D-Day landing. And so we then went. We were near Dieppe. That unit was near Dieppe.
And this is a part of the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry, but you don't know which part. It's still part of the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry. You're still one of the battalions.
An infantry battalion.
Of the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry, or have you left?
Duke of Cornwall, right. Yeah. Okay. And merged with another.
Yep.
I can't remember what you meant, but merged with an infantry battalion. And then we went to Arnhem in Holland. And our job in Arnhem in Holland was to guard the bridge, because against the Germans wanting to try for a comeback, to break out. Germans.
What do you remember of that period?
Well, that period was very tense in Arnhem.
What was actually happening? What do you remember of it?
Well, there was a certain amount of firing. Germans were still firing. And we were firing at the Germans.
Across the river.
Guns were firing. Not rifle fire, but guns. Artillery fire.
Any close escapes?
No, there were a few casualties. Yeah. In the midst of the regiment of the battalion. I don't know the proceeding and. 46. Well, I can't remember what happened then. After that.
You don't remember much after Arnhem.
Hmm?
You don't remember much about Arnhem after Arnhem.
Back to
Arnhem's September 1944.
Yeah. I remember.
So what happened after that?
After that, I do remember, but nothing significant happened after the Arnhem. Incident where we had not an incident but with a duty at Arnhem to look after the bridge, to guard the bridge against the Germans. Then we were, I don't